Okay, friends, today we're going to look at a video from a YouTube account called Video Impact Ministries. It's about 10 minutes long, and I'm going to dissect it a little bit. And usually when I respond to videos, I come from a place of disagreement, and I tell all about why I disagree. This video is actually pretty good. I was kind of surprised, especially after the first couple of minutes. I thought that I knew where it was going, and I was actually wrong. And so it's actually really good. I just thought that I could provide a little more insight and clarity and nuance in what he has to say about how we can reach out to our LGBTQ friends and neighbors. And so let's take a look at this video.
As believers, we're called to love people the way Jesus loved people. Yet today, I feel like many Christians fall into an us versus them mentality where they draw lines, point their fingers, and criticize certain people for their lifestyles.
Yes, that is true. And I've said many times in churches that when it comes to LGBTQ individuals or those issues, we need to treat them as people and not just issues. And we have this us versus them mentality where we have the attitude, how do we respond to those people out there? Whereas I try to reframe the conversation from how do we respond to those people out there to our response is in here, because we're all sinners, all in need of Jesus, and we all need him as our savior. And so let's be transformed in here in the church, especially in the area of our sexuality. And that gives us a witness to the world out there.
I mean, I'm a Christian too. And many times I disagree with how Christians treat people within the LGBTQ plus community. So in this video, I will talk about 5 steps that every Christian should take to love this group the way Jesus loves them. Step number 1, don't condemn them to hell. John chapter 3, verses 16 to 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. In this passage, Jesus is telling a man by the name of Nicodemus some very important truths about God. Jesus told him that God loved the world so much that he sent his only son to save the world, not to condemn it. So I'll say this, if you're a follower of God, at no point should you ever stand like a judge and decide who goes to hell. Notice how the passage says that God didn't send Jesus to condemn the world, but to save it. So for those who condemn any person to hell, these people do not have the heart of God that desires to save people. So if someone is a part of the LGBTQ plus community, I encourage Christians everywhere to leave the condemnation to God. It's not our place to decide who goes to hell, and should we ever step into a place that does condemn people to hell, we are playing the role of Satan himself, because Satan means accuser. And for someone who tells someone else that they're going to hell without giving them the gospel and the opportunity of going to heaven, they sound more like a child of Satan than a child of the God who sent his son to save people.
Okay, so let's talk about this a little bit. I thought that this was maybe one of his weakest points, or at least I thought watching this part that I thought that he was like pro-LGBTQ, didn't think that it's a sin. And he talks about not condemning people to hell. It's like, that is true. We have to be very, very careful not put ourselves in the place of God. Yet we still show discernment, and we still have to understand what the Bible says, that these are people who have been deceived. And we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Do not be deceived. The sexually immoral will not inherit the kingdom of God, and has this whole list of sins, including homosexuality. And so we have to be honest, like, man, like, these people are destined for hell, and we're not the ones condemning them. It's God who's condemning them, and we want to provide them hope of Jesus. And I also like to point out that LGBTQ individuals need the hope of Jesus for not just their sexuality, but for every area of their life. Sometimes we focus on that one area of their life when they actually need the gospel for every area of their life. There might be other areas where they're softened first to see their need for Jesus. When the area of their sexuality is the place where they're the most hardened, and maybe the last to understand that I need Jesus for this area of my life too. So I feel like he maybe takes this a little too far. We're supposed to judge people, but we're supposed to take the plank out of our own eye first. And so we should be able to use discernment when someone is living their lifestyle. It should cause this grave concern and a mourning and humility and concern for their eternity. So it's God who's going to condemn them to hell. Absolutely. But that should concern us. That should grieve us. That should bring us to our knees and praying for them and looking for opportunities to give them the hope of the gospel. All right, let's keep watching.
Step number two, don't make fun of their culture. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 to 26. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. In this passage, Paul taught Timothy that if someone is a servant of the Lord, they must act in a certain way. And one of those ways was to treat people who believed differently with humility. He instructed that if someone else is in opposition to what they believed, to view them as people who were held captive by the devil, and then to attempt to correct those people in a way that is humble. So if you're a Christian and you're interacting with anyone in the LGBTQ plus community, you must remember that your job is to persuade them to follow God. And one way that you do not do that is by making fun of their identity. I see and hear too many Christians use the word gay as an insult. And I also see other believers imitate people in the LGBTQ plus community by mimicking their voice and their mannerisms in a way that mocks them. Imagine if someone actually did struggle with same-sex attraction and wanted to talk about it, but all their friends use the word gay as an insult. Honestly, the last person that they would want to talk to is a person who would make fun of them. So while Christians can be opposed to the LGBTQ plus community in terms of lifestyle, Christians everywhere should attempt to live a life of humility that does not mock the LGBTQ plus community, but seeks to understand where they're coming from and attempts to point them to truth in the most compassionate way possible, even if there are disagreements.
I 100% agree with him on this. Many times I see the word gay being used as a word to mock other people. And, you know, we've all been around boys and men who kind of make fun of each other. It's like, oh, that's so gay. That's so gay. And that does so much damage to people. There's a couple ways that damages, especially boys who are growing up around that. One is that if they're already struggling with that, then that is just demeaning to them, and it puts up these walls and tells them that I guess these aren't safe people. I guess these aren't people that I can talk to, and it causes them to just keep it a secret. And there's no healing and redemption in keeping it a secret. So we have boys in their teenage years that hear these words being used in such a mocking way, and they think, well, it's obviously not okay for me to be gay, but that doesn't make those feelings go away. And so as those feelings then grow and fester inside and build, they're dealing with it in silence and can't get the help and the community and the support that they need to process it in a biblical way and surrender it. And so it becomes a barrier to their discipleship. And then secondly, many times we label kids as that, and that is actually the start of them developing that identity. I know many guys who did not struggle with sexuality issues until they were labeled as gay because maybe their mannerisms or their talents and abilities. And these are talents and abilities we should be, you know, applauding, and we should be thanking God that they have. And yet we labeled as gay, we labeled them as gay, and that starts this doubt in their mind. It starts them questioning, well, maybe I am that. And their identity starts to form in that. And it develops these barriers between them and other men. And it might be many times boys and young men who are maybe more inclined to move towards same-sex attraction, their personality types and traits that might make them more susceptible, and being labeled as that actually is what sets them down that path, whereas maybe they didn't need to go that direction, or they wouldn't have gone otherwise. So we absolutely need to make sure we're not using the word gay to mock them, to demean them, using it in a mocking way. We show compassion when we disagree with them, and we try to understand where their hearts are at. Like Paul in Acts 17, he goes to Athens and he sees a city that's full of idolatry, and he says they're serving an unknown God. So we try to understand what it was. So we need to get close enough to them to understand what idols are their hearts serving, what lies have they believed. And we can't do that if we're mocking them. How are we supposed to have a positive influence on them? How are we supposed to develop a deep relationship with them if we're mocking them and pushing them away?
Step number 3, don't forget the gospel. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. In this passage, Paul is explaining how the gospel is the power of God to salvation. So the point I need to make is that our focus as Christians should be to preach the gospel, because that alone can bring people to salvation. You see, when it comes to communicating to people within the LGBTQ+ community, I fear that many Christians will place much of their focus on convincing them that their lifestyle is wrong. And while I agree that Christians should explain to people what is right and wrong, we must all remember that it is the gospel alone that saves people. So let me make it very clear right now. Being heterosexual does not save people. And saying no to same-sex attraction also does not save people. What does save people is believing the fact that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. This is what every Christian should focus on, and it's that God, being a holy and righteous God, must judge sin. And the punishment for sin is death. So in order to save us from the punishment of our sins, Jesus took that punishment on our behalf and died our death. And so when someone believes and has faith in the fact that Jesus died for them in their sin, this faith is what saves someone. And God then washes us from our sin and allows us to go to heaven. So to conclude this point, I need to tell Christians everywhere, place more attention on preaching the gospel and living according to the gospel. Why? Because it is the gospel alone that can truly save people. And if that's the case, we should be focusing on that.
Amen and amen. We need to focus on the gospel, and what a great gospel presentation he gave us there. Many times with these issues, we get caught up in behavior modification. We want someone to change their behavior, but there's no hope in that. There's no eternity in that. If we're to convince someone to try to be straight or to not act on their same-sex attraction, that does nothing for their eternity. And so we need to focus on helping them find hope in Christ. I share many times when sharing my story is that I had this remarkable transformation when I came to know Christ, and I felt like the transformation the church had always wanted for me and others like me is to convince us to go from gay to straight. And that wasn't the transformation that happened. The transformation that happened for us from lost to saved. And that is so much more remarkable than any type of just external behavior change, that God came into my soul and he rescued me for an eternity. And it was out of that transformation that I started to surrender to God's word and change the way that I was living. And I had the power inside of me to do so. So we need to focus on the gospel, the hope of the gospel, not just behavior, but and changing people's behavior, but giving them the power of the gospel, because that alone is what can save them.
Step number four, don't forget Jesus's love. Matthew chapter 9, verses 10 to 13. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." In this passage, we see Jesus hanging out with tax collectors, who were considered thieves at the time, and sinners. And these people felt comfortable enough to spend time and eat with Jesus. So I want all of us to note how Jesus loved people. Jesus did not compromise his morals, and he did not sin. Yet these people felt comfortable enough to hang out around him. And what's interesting also is that it was the religious people responsible for killing Jesus that pointed their fingers at these sinners and separated themselves from this kind of company. So if you are a Christian, love the LGBTQ community the way Jesus did. Be their friend. Be willing to hang out and show them what it means to follow God. And remember that you're just as much a sinner as they are. And at the same time, don't compromise. In humility, show them that homosexuality is a sin.
Amen and amen. So many times I see people want to put such strong boundaries in their life with LGBTQ people. And so many times we use the excuse, well, you know, we need to not be accepting of them or their sin. It's like, well, we can be accepting of them, but not their sin. And so we follow Jesus' example here, right here on the whiteboard that we're showing. What a great example. And it was the religious people who condemned Jesus for spending time with sinners. And we see that in our culture today. You know, the religious people condemn us for spending time with sinners, for having them in our home. And I still get those questions all the time, is what boundaries do I set? And it's like, I think that those boundaries are probably much looser than most Christians would want. And I think that many times when I see Christians set such strong boundaries with the LGBTQ community in their relationships, their friendship, it's coming from a place of fear. It's coming from a place of not wanting to be uncomfortable. So that's an easy excuse to just keep them at arm's length and not get uncomfortable by having to walk alongside them and really enter the mess of their lives. So we should be loving them. We should be including them into our lives. They should be sitting around our dinner table as we get to know them and we care for them and we understand what's going on in their soul. Many times I see Christians use the excuse of, well, I don't want them to perceive that I'm accepting of their sin. It's like, for some reason, that is the one possible misconception we get so hung up on. It's like, there's so many things that they could misconceive. They could also misconceive like, well, what? Maybe this person doesn't love me, or maybe this person rejects me. Maybe God's grace isn't sufficient for me. Those are all things that I have misperceived. We can't control everyone's perceptions. And so maybe as we hang out with sinners, they'll at some point think that we're accepting or celebrating their sin, and we don't want to purposely do that, but we can't control their misperceptions, and we need to surrender that to the Lord. We need to be obedient and loving them. And I think that we can overcome those misperceptions as we share the gospel with them and share about what we believe, but we need to earn the influence in their life to be able to do that. We need to earn the influence. We need to get permission to enter into that deep area of their heart and proclaim gospel truth. Many times people have said that you spell love T-I-M-E. We spell love by spending time with people. We need to spend time with these individuals, get to know them, love them, serve them, and understand what is going on in their heart. And maybe there's a time when they might perceive that as like we're accepting of their sin. We don't want that, but you know, we can fix that. Let's not live in that fear. We should also be just as fearful of their misperception that we're rejecting them. We don't want that either. And so we're obedient to what God calls us to do. We work through things that are happening in their heart, and we leave the rest up to God, and we trust that God will use us to soften their hearts, to work in them. And many times just the fear of their misperceptions that we might be accepting of their sin is just a kind of a lazy excuse to keep ourselves at arm's length and not actually invest in them as Jesus would have us invest in them.
Which leads me to the final step. Step number 5, don't be ignorant. Romans chapter 1, verses 26 to 27. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. In this passage, Paul explains how both women and men did not do what was natural and instead committed what was shameful. And what was shameful was men burning in their lust for other men. You see, when it comes to marriage, the Bible defines marriage as being between a man and a woman. And nowhere in Scripture is there a positive indicator that gay marriage is lawful. So with a topic as big as this one, I must be clear on my stance. Homosexuality is wrong and is a sin. I disagree with the lifestyle of people in these communities, and I know in my heart that I am no better. I'm also a sinner, and in no way do I want to give anyone the impression that I'm superior in any way. So for Christians watching everywhere, do not think that you are better than anyone. We ought to love people in the LGBTQ+ community and to befriend them so that they too can know Jesus.
Amen and amen. We love people and we never think that we're better than them. And we need to really disciple each other in this. We need to call it out when we see it, when we see our friends and discussions and talks, whether we're at Bible study at church, just hanging out. When we see an attitude of we're better than those people, we need to call that out, and not in a judgmental, but in discipleship of this person. And because we need to know our place. We need to know that we are just as much undeserving of God's grace as our LGBTQ friends and neighbors. And so knowing our own sinfulness should lead us to a place of humility, knowing that we are undeserving of God's grace. And that should propel us to love our LGBTQ friends and believe that God can change them, believe in the power of the gospel. Many times I think that Christians have given up hope that those people will ever come to repentance. We don't give up hope. We believe that God wants to redeem and restore his people. He's been in the business of doing that for thousands of years, and he's still doing that now. And so that's what we should be praying for LGBTQ neighbors, friends, and the community, is that the power of the gospel would work in their lives, and we would prepare ourselves to be a part of that we would prepare ourselves to play a role, however God might want to use us in their lives, to soften their hearts, to communicate the gospel freely, to love them with the love that Jesus has for us. So thank you for this great video. It really was good, and I hope that I was able to provide some more clarity and nuance into how that apply specifically to LGBTQ people. Make sure you check out CalibrateMinistries.com for more resources, more podcast episodes. We have everything you need there. Well, not everything, but a lot of useful resources. We'd appreciate it. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel. You like us on social media, share with your friends. We really appreciate it. We also appreciate your support of the ministry. We're completely supported by donors. And so go to CalibrateMinistries.com, and we appreciate your support for the work that we are doing. All right. Have a great day.